Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have a very special guest. It is Donnie Brasco, the real Donnie Brasco, Joe Pistone. If you don't know the story, if you hadn't seen the movie, Joe Pistone went undercover in the New York Mafia in a crime family for 5 years in the late 70s, early 80s. Ended up like 200 indictments just based on his investigation. He lived the life. He's in witness protection still. Fascinating interview, something a little different. So make sure you listen to that. We also have Russell Wilson maybe demanding a trade, but also not. It's very weird. Russell Wilson day, Deshaun Watson adamantly demanding a trade. Firefest of the week. Hank has a new idea to get us rich, which I think he's going to share. Are you going to share? Fuck yeah, you're going to share. Packed Friday show. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go. Boy! Boy! Now in the street there is violence, and then a lot of work to be done. No place to hang out. Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by Verizon 5G. Today is Friday, February 26th, PFT. Your mind, it's your greatest weapon.
Agreed.
Always persevere, always have a great perspective, and always have a great purpose in your life.
Agreed.
Even though we don't get to play today, we always win.
Fact.
Winning is the only option. Hashtag grateful. The best is ahead.
Also fact.
Cross training made easier with my hashtag Bose frame, Team Bose, hashtag Bose.
Also correct.
These are the quotes I will live by if Russell Wilson becomes a Bear.
There you go. There you go. Your mind is your greatest weapon?
Your mind is your greatest weapon.
What about my ass?
Nope, your mind.
Okay, all right.
Your mind is your greatest. Russell Wilson has demanded kind of the most passive-aggressive trade request in the history of sports.
Well, it's kind of like he's entering the transfer portal. It's not really a full demand. He says, I'm not requesting a trade unless it's to a team that I would want to be traded to.
Do you know what he's asking? He's basically in a marriage, and he's asking for a hall pass, and then he listed like six different women that he would like to have sex. Like, hey, actually, our neighbor
that he knows.
Is a hall pass. Yeah, right. Yeah. It's not Jennifer Aniston. It's Bethany who lives next door.
Yeah, it's your friend from the PTA.
Right.
She'd be on my
hall
list.
Hall pass.
Yeah, you toss in a couple like Scarlett Johansson's on there, Halle Berry, your mom. And then we'll go with Megan Fox.
Okay, so he has said to the Seahawks, he doesn't want to be traded, but if they were to trade him, hypothetically speaking, he would want to go to one of four teams. The Raiders, the Bears, the Saints, and the Jets. No, or the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, not
I've
the Jets.
I've seen the Jets as well for
not
some
the
reason.
Jets.
Okay, not the Jets. Just the fact that Russell Wilson has put the Bears in this list is like maybe the biggest win the Bears have had in a while.
It's huge.
6 or 7 years. Actually, our friend Robert Mays had a tweet that sums up the Bears perfectly. He listed the best Bears of all time, QBs. Number one, Sid Luckman. Number two, Jay Cutler. Number three, Eric Kramer. Number four, Russell Wilson saying he'd play for the Bears.
I put him at five. I put Sexy Rexy ahead of him, the original RG3.
Yes.
And now this is something that J.J. Watt I don't think would ever do. Something like what Russ is pulling, he would J.J. Watt would demand a trade. He would demand his release so that he wouldn't become a burden on the team, and
correct.
He could go out and not be a distraction to
correct.
The locker room. Russell Wilson, on the other
totally
hand,
wouldn't milk his free agency period.
You can't
sign right now,
Mr. Unlimited, without me.
The league year hasn't started, Hank. What do you want him to tamper?
No,
you want J.J. Watt? Listen, if Russell Wilson somehow, some way, now Let me take a step back. Well, Big Real Cat, quick.
Let me just say though that if you went to the Bears, something terrible would happen.
Of course, of course. But I still would love to have that terrible thing happen for the day that he signed for me to be that excited.
You'd want, you know what?
It's a future me problem.
Big Cat, an off season where Russell Wilson is your quarterback would be the best period of time in Bears history
right,
ever.
Right, exactly.
It'd be incredible. Yeah.
I think that he threw the Bears in here because he was like, okay, I want to go to the Saints because Sean Payton. I want to go to the Dolphins because I want to live in Miami. I want to go to the Raiders because I want to live in Las Vegas. I want to go to Chicago because there's a chance that Ryan Pace will pay me $700 million.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is where the Bears, you know, and guess what? I don't think Russell Wilson is worth $700 million, but I also...
Never got an MVP vote.
I would love to just have a competent quarterback, and that would be a very fun experience.
I think that he threw the Bears in there as, like, kind of throwing a bone for the Seahawks, because he knows if the Bears are in the discussion, his trade value goes up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that other teams would be able to give a little bit more money. I think he said Dallas, too. It's basically all cities that Sierra would want to live in.
Yes.
It's like, where is a little bit sunnier? Where can you be outdoors for 8 months of the year?
All I'm going to say is that if Russell Wilson somehow, some way becomes a Bear, I will buy into... I might just become the most religious person in the world.
Or just become unlimited.
Just praise Jesus every single day. Like, I will tweet about the corniest sayings, everything. I'll be a Mr. Unlimited. I'll do post-game videos in black and white to Kobe, thinking about Kobe when Russell Wilson plays for the Bears. Like, the Bears beat the Lions in week three.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that was for Kobe.
You and Russell do have, like, similar fashion senses. Hawaiian shirts.
Jeans.
You're both dads.
Dads, yep. Then that's really where it stops.
You both drink water sometimes.
Sometimes. I'm ready. I'm ready to get hurt. I'm ready to just... This is... You know what, though? I don't really care. Just the fact that he mentioned it, it is really like... It could be a total throw-in, but he put us in the sentence that said that he would consider being a Chicago Bear, and I'm like, all right, great. Someone wants us. That's cool.
I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I think he's going to stay in Seattle, but it's nice to dream. His biggest qualm with the organization appears to be like, oh, I didn't realize that playing in the NFL that my coach would have his sons also on the staff, mm-hmm. and they wouldn't be held to the same standard. It's like, you know that you play in the NFL, right? Like, that's kind of signing. That's part of what you're signing up for. It's like, you're going to be busy most Sundays, and your coach is going to have a couple of his shithead sons running around fucking everything up.
Mm-hmm. And so the other story that came out about Russell Wilson was that he apparently stormed out of a meeting before the Thursday night football game against the Cardinals because he was basically giving a presentation on how the offense could be fixed, which that was probably the lamest. Well, let me do two things. If he's not a Bear, that was the lamest presentation ever, where Russell Wilson was like, I want to throw the ball 75 times a game. Mm-hmm. Let me be Mr. Unlimited. Now, Bear Russell Wilson, how do the Seahawks not listen to Russell Wilson, their franchise quarterback? Shame on them. If he came to Chicago, Matt Nagy would listen to everything he says.
It's great leadership.
Yes.
That's exactly what you want out of your signal caller.
Mm-hmm.
You want a guy that's not afraid to take the lot, to coach his coaches up.
But every time I read a story like this, like, why couldn't I fucking known about this before I bet on that game?
Which one?
Russell Wilson storming out. Like, it's the Mike McCarthy watermelons again.
Yep,
I'm sick of reading stories in February where I can actually point to it and be like, oh, yeah, lost that bet. That makes sense.
Can we all stop for a second, though, and just imagine Russell Wilson in Las Vegas? Just what a waste of real estate that would be for him.
He would probably try to have, like, a magic show on the Strip.
Yeah, probably. He'd be front row at the Celine Dion.
Like a Joel Osteen
every
show.
Night.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. Oh, I could totally see that.
Yeah, hey, Dave Copperfield, maybe, I was thinking we had this great idea for a magic show that removes all the satanic imagery, though.
Yes.
So, basically card tricks.
Yeah, I could absolutely see Russell Wilson doing that. So, it's wild to think that, you know, Stafford obviously already got traded. Dak is still up in the air. Russell Wilson, passive-aggressive trade request.
Deshaun. Apparently not getting traded. Jack Easterby. You don't want to fuck with Jack Easterby.
Well,
that's a man that has read. He lives Art of the Deal every single day.
Apparently not getting traded, but also apparently refusing to play for the Texans.
Yeah.
So the story came out that he met with the new coach for the Texans, Culley.
Yep.
That one's going to be right. That we're going to have to remind ourselves of that.
Culley, and then I'm having a hard time remembering Sirianni.
Yep, Sirianni and Culley. So they had a meeting on Friday night, and Deshaun Watson was like, absolutely not playing for the team. Sorry, just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So it is a game of chicken.
Deshaun, just get fat.
I would love to see a player just be like, I truly hate them so much. I will retire.
Yeah. I mean, if any franchise is able to do that to a person, it would be the Houston Texans. Just get fat, Deshaun. I don't know if that would actually like change things because you say that you're not going to play. They say that they're not going to trade you. But it would make my life a lot more fun if every time I saw a picture of fat Deshaun, I got to giggle at it.
Yeah. And then you're way out of town.
Then there's J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt. Who's also doing his free agency tour.
Oh, and we have, sticking on quarterbacks, Big Ben is officially back,
yep,
which
yep.
is the best thing ever. I mean, that Thank brought you, a Ben. Tear to my eyes. One more fucking, you know, trip around the sun, the last dance, Big Ben version. Drew Brees is apparently not, like, he is retiring, but he hasn't said it yet. Which makes no sense.
But he's going to be in the booth next year, right?
But he hasn't said that he's retiring.
He's retiring. I'm putting Drew Brees out to pasture.
What people are saying now is, why has Drew Brees not retired?
I don't have a good answer for that, but I'm putting it out to pasture.
I was going to make a joke that I'm not going to make because I'm not going to make the joke.
About his ribs?
No.
What was it about?
It was going to be something along the lines of, he's probably still at the golf course waiting for Tiger.
Okay, thank you for not making that joke.
You can't make that joke.
You can't make that joke.
So I didn't make the joke.
Drew Brees.
Right? I did not make
Thank God.
We all agree I did not make that joke.
And thank God you didn't.
But Drew Brees is also one of the quarterbacks that had his legs broken in those rumors.
Yes,
that we
right,
talked about.
Right, exactly.
Big Ben, so yes, he's coming back. He's going to just basically loan money to the Steelers because the Steelers, they don't want to pay him because he's frankly not worth anything right now. Big Ben doesn't want to take money from the Steelers because
he has to take something.
He knows.
Yeah.
So, like, how is that going to work? I think that Big Ben should start up his own TB12 method.
Yep.
The BB7 method, which is really the way that. Like, the people always say, Tom Brady, well, your wife is a supermodel. She brings in hundreds of millions of dollars. It does make it easier for him to get paid less, but we also speculate that Tom Brady has that side cash coming in
yep.
from the TB12 method.
Yep.
The BB7 method, the Big Ben 7 method, could be the answer to the Steelers' cap hell problems, where he starts selling, like, used medical equipment on eBay and gas station boner pills and
yeah.
chloroform.
Passwords to Brazzers.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That I don't,
he's
I swear
not
I don't
using,
use anymore.
He's not using them, guys.
Yeah.
Free password. yeah, so, and then what other news we have? Well, NBA All-Star team was announced. Is anyone excited for the NBA All-Star game? I feel like it's
gonna
be the
even,
weirdest event.
I don't even think that the players are excited for it.
I was just happy that Zach LaVine got the credit because I'm all in on Zach LaVine. He's been phenomenal. What?
His dad is electric, too.
Yes. Yes.
They, like, had the video where they were surprised him, and his dad was like, you ready? Or Zach LaVine was like, you ready for Atlanta? And the dad was just like, are there casinos?
yeah.
That was his only question.
Well, Zach LaVine had a quote a couple of weeks ago where it's like, the only two people I'm afraid of are God and my dad. And then have you seen a picture of his dad?
Yeah.
His dad is a not to be fucked with type of guy. But yeah, the All-Star game, I don't.
NBA just needs to bring back the dunk contest. It's very simple. Just bring it back with, like, the best players.
Yes, I agree. The dunk contest can solve everything. And then college basketball, we had a great Roy Williams quote last night, even though he shouldn't have. So they scheduled Marquette for an extra game, something Duke would never do because Duke is scared.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Marquette. Bad loss. And
terrible loss.
He basically said,
this sucks.
Y'all, when I schedule these games, I don't know what we're going to lose. If we won the game, you'd say, why did you schedule Marquette?
Yeah.
Dadgummit, I'm going to schedule Marquette. And if we win, then you are sitting up here saying you shouldn't have scheduled. If I lose the dadgum game, then you guys are telling me why I schedule Marquette for. So, y'all, I can't win with y'all. And then he storms out.
That was Jerry Jones, Roy Williams, and Patrick Mahomes all together.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That averages out to Roy Williams, so I'm okay with that. And all you haters out there that told me I was an idiot when I said Roy Williams is a better coach than Coach K, he doesn't get the shine. This is just another market in my favor on this.
But hold on. What's going to happen here and why I just said this sucks is there's now a world where Duke's going to make the tournament this year and UNC isn't.
I don't care.
Okay. It's going to suck because I actually – what's Duke's remaining schedule? I mean, the ACC is not very good this year.
They might get like a top four seed.
Do you think –
Hank has a point.
What?
Because they just announced that there
Always.
Are going to be replacement teams with COVID. The first four teams out are going to be on standby.
Oh, that's wow. such blue balls,
so,
bullshit.
God forbid Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan have COVID outbreak. Duke replaces them. at the one seed.
That's what's going
to
happen.
They're not going to chase around.
What the fuck?
But Duke could also be a 16 seed.
Yeah, wait. That would be awesome to see that pounded by Gonzaga.
Isn't this again for like the second time exactly what happened in Harry Potter, the Goblet of Fire, where they added another team in just to make that make sure that the ratings went up?
That's true.
Oh, R.I.P. Cedric.
What a what? That's a fantastic
books.
Reference, PFT. I had no idea you had that in you.
Thank you. Well, it happened with Zion with the Pelicans, and now they're doing it with another Duke squad.
Cedric.
So
got the fucking
Duke
raw end
has,
of that deal.
Duke,
I've been saying that for years.
Duke has Louisville.
Yeah, Georgia Tech, UNC.
Hank
all
is,
tournament
Hank
caliber
is
teams.
Stupefied.
Yeah, Georgia Tech will actually be their toughest
game. I
mean, just
like access something that I forgot about like since I was like 12 years old.
So
just the Stones.
Duke, Georgia Tech, I actually referenced this on my pod last night.
What shout out the pod?
Barstool Bench Mob. Duke, Georgia Tech may very well.
Hank,
which
that's not very wide a review.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that was one.
Fuck you,
Duke
Hank.
Georgia Tech Tuesday could very well be a loser leaves town game.
Yes, that
I
would
give
be
you guys
a loser.
Credit though, but that is a loser leaves town.
Loser leaves. We didn't come up with loser leaves town.
No, we didn't.
I still credit
wrestling and everything.
Nope, credit you guys. Okay, all right. I thought you did it. Sorry.
Yeah. So Duke, they're gonna make the tournament. I just know they will.
Of course.
If they make the tournament, you got to get a cat, Hank.
No.
Why?
You guys have to get a cat.
All right. How about this, Hank? What if Duke makes the tournament as one of those replacement COVID teams, and then they end up losing?
If Duke wins the championship, you guys should get a cat.
Okay, yeah. If Duke wins the championship, I'll get a cat.
Yep. Done. And if Duke... Well, you have to have a cat.
It'll be an outdoor cat.
If they make it to the championship and lose...
No. Final Four. No. Sweet 16.
Sweet
no.
16 and lose.
No, because if they get a one seed, it'll be a walk-in to the Final Four.
But that's a risk. You have to put something in this.
Yeah, if they make it to the championship and lose.
No. No, it's got to be. Come on,
it's the same
final
bet
four,
for both of
final
us.
Four,
I, no,
final
no,
four.
I think Elite Eight. I think if they get to the Elite Eight and lose, you have to get a cat. If they lose in the Sweet 16, no cat.
No cat. They would.
Yeah,
you think they
yeah.
Can
but no. But what? But what? What what's on? What? What's
no.
On
final four. I think final four. If they get to the final four, you have to get a cat. If they win the title, we have to get a cat.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
One cat between us.
Yes, we'll split it in half.
It can be a barn cat.
Billy, will
there's
be
actually a new litter of barn
no.
cats.
Billy,
oh,
no,
God damn it, Billy, are you gonna get the what was the riboplasma
toxoplasmosis?
What are you?
That was a wild time, right?
Yeah, didn't you suggest getting toxoplasmosis to attack the COVID cells?
Yeah, no, it was more that in a bunch of people with motorcycle accidents have toxoplasmosis because they have no fear.
By the way, we should just. For the people who are listening and not watching, Billy has the most unwrinkled or wrinkled jeans or pants of all time.
It looks like his legs are in two scrotums.
I just want you to listen to it and
two
know that that's what he's doing. Chipotle wrappers, as Ken Jack put out there.
Not all of us have advanced laundry techniques.
You have
like a laundry.
I support you, Billy.
What do you mean by thank advanced you. Laundry techniques? Do you mean a dryer,
an iron?
If I didn't support you, Billy, I would say I also don't have an iron, but I've never let my pants get to that point. But I do support you, and I'm with you.
I actually
on this
think
journey.
You balled them up and you put them under your mattress. You've been sleeping on them for 6 months.
I have a solid laundry apparatus technique thing I do where
you put in
I actually
machine.
Do have a washer and a dryer.
I know what he's gonna say.
What
you're and because you're 21. Are you 22 yet?
I'm 22.
All right, so you're 22. You're gonna always be 21. But you do and listen. This is actually the relatable part, Billy. So I'm gonna have your back here.
Thank you.
You do your laundry. You wash it and you put it in the dryer. And then instead of doing the extra step of folding everything and putting it away, you just take your clothes from the dryer all week.
Yeah,
it's great. Yeah. That's actually an efficient system.
Yeah.
And then you put it in the washing machine right at when you take it off for the shower.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you basically, you don't need a closet.
Exactly.
You just have your washer.
Can I give you a life
dryer.
Hack? So yes. Here's a great way to just get rid of wrinkles. You just take like one sock or one shirt and you wet it down. And then you put it in the dryer with the other thing you want to dry. And then the steam, while it's in the dryer, gets rid of the wrinkles.
How long?
I don't know, like 10 minutes.
So do it while minutes. I shower?
Yeah, perfect.
That's actually that's actually huge.
Mm-hmm. Or you so hang the pants up in the shower. I'm a guy that knows how to take care of some big, wrinkly pants. You just hang it up in there with you. The steam lets it all fall down.
Yep.
That's actually huge.
Maybe put a towel under the door so that you don't let any of the steam out.
Hot box it.
Yep.
Yeah,
a little steam room in your shower.
Ooh. I had a little bit of pre-FOMO looking forward to this weekend.
Oh.
Can you guys help me out maybe?
Yeah.
Are we not going to have any Gooch this weekend? Because last weekend we had multiple Gooches.
What? The golfer. I think the golfer's probably competing.
Taylor Gooch.
Yeah.
And then there was Dusty Gooch. Mm-hmm. I can't go from two Gooch weekend to zero Gooch weekend.
Yeah, I hope that Taylor Gooch is competing. I would assume he is.
Yeah.
Right? He's got to be. Jake, check that force. Hank.
Stand by. Brooks did just hit a 35-footer. He's one off the lead.
Of course he is.
Oh, fuck. Bad.
Wait, that's not Puerto Rico, is it?
Nope.
No.
Other one.
Concession in Bradenton, Florida.
Okay. Yeah. All right, before Hank tells us his genius
idea. I don't see Gooch
ID
on the leaderboard.
Okay. Well, he's got to be there.
Somewhere. Or he could be at Puerto Rico.
He could be at Puerto Rico.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
PFT, what I thought you were going to say about this weekend was, we're back. Guys, this is how the calendar works. We finally made it. We're fucking springing ahead. So changing your clocks on Saturday night. Finally, we're going to get that extra hour of sunlight. There's nothing better than getting to that point where we finally reach it. We're going to change our clocks on Saturday night, and then boom, it's going to be 6:30 before the sun sets.
Right. Well, for me, it's actually been the entire, 4 months because I never change, and so I've always got that to look forward to. If you've got a car that you drive every day, if you've made it, you drove through the zone,
congrats.
That's the most accomplished I ever felt when I was driving my car, when I was like, you know what? I didn't change my clock. Finally, time caught up to me.
Yes.
You made it. Don't be late for work on Monday.
It
sprung forward.
There's something just beautiful about that. When the first Monday after we spring forward, which is this Saturday, mm-hmm. So change your clocks, 2:00 in the morning, is that right?
2 a.m. 2 a.m. Sunday morning, it becomes 3 a.m.
3 a.m.
Yeah.
So that there's something about that extra hour where you get out of work and it's like, oh my God, it's still light up. This is great. It feels great.
Yeah. It's like if this had lasted one more week, I was going to off myself.
Yep.
So thank God it's back this week.
Yes. So just a little shout out to everyone looking out for the AWLs. Billy, we don't want you to be late. Hank, your genius idea that's going to make us rich. In a week where we have reached great financial independence by buying highlights online, we're just rich now, right? Because of highlights
assets,
online.
Assets. They're assets.
Assets.
Yeah.
Digital
right.
assets.
This one.
CryptoPunks.
This one will require a little more work. I know you're old, Big Cat PFT, you're getting old, I'm getting old, mm-hmm. So it's my, someone young that really has the time.
It also occurred to
me
that
there is a new sport that's blowing up, and I think we can get in on the ground floor and make a lot of money. This dude, Paul Macbeth, today signed a 10-year, $10 million contract extension to play disc golf.
10-year, $10 million?
So this guy, he's the Michael Jordan of disc golf. His first contract was like a year, like $250,000. He sold so many fucking discs or whatever, frisbees.
It's called banging chains.
His signature line sold so many. There's such a huge market there. It's time to do a 10-year, $10 million contract. And it's something I think if we just get our froth on, we can get in and
bang chains
and make millions.
10 years, $10 million doesn't seem like that much money to me, actually.
For fucking disc golf?
Yeah, it seems like kind of a broke boy
sport. It's a fun sport.
I aspire to be two things in my life. One is a car guy, and the other is a frolfer.
Right.
Like if I could envision my perfect self, it'd be fix a car and have some antique cars, and then take my antique car and bang some chains.
How many times, Big Cat, in your life have you been like, I wish I could pursue my frolf, dreams, but I have to make money for my family.
And literally every day.
Now, you don't have to make a choice.
Yeah.
You can just do it.
Do both.
Yes.
Okay. In.
So who sponsors him?
Discraft.
Discraft.
So it's a frisbee company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
And they're they're so sick. You wear your little satchel and you got your different frolf discs. They're clubs.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't just use the same disc.
An AWL emailed me this. His name was Cayman, which I thought was appropriate for a guy that's really on the,
He definitely
Cayman,
wears Tevas. Maybe even has a rat tail.
But But still, I read the article. I was like taken aback. I was like, wow, there's some real money to be. I, you know, we're trying to get rich quick, right? Like,
actually, you know what?
This is the week where it's just like, what should we do? Should we buy like
this is investment week? On
should
part
we buy
of my
cards?
Disc golf,
or should we buy some fucking chains?
It's pandemic, is what it is, because it's an outdoor sport. You're always socially distanced. You don't have any friends. It's perfect.
I have to correct you, Hank, because if we're going
to
get in this...
We have to buy chains to set them up, and then we bang them. We buy them, and then we bang
chains.
Them.
That's why it sounds cool when you but say, you want to go bang some chains, bro, and then you're talking about froth.
Yeah. Okay. You have to buy them to set them up, and then you bang them.
Okay.
Why do we have to build our own bang chains?
No, we don't. You just training. Go to the course, and you bang some chains.
Yeah, I'm not going to bang my own chains.
Yeah.
You know, crap where you eat.
Come on.
Either way, do you want me to do my drunk idea too, or should we save that?
That wasn't that, your that drunk idea? Your...
No, that's an investment.
That's
like,
a good
that's
idea.
Like, that's like, that's like
that, let's nice. Sit down. You lead that, with the strongest idea. Yeah.
That's like if we were, you know, if the microphones weren't here, I would have sat you guys down in a boardroom and been like, let's do this presentation, the whole thing. This is more of just like, you know, guys at the
all
bar.
Right,
like,
all right, his drunk idea is we sponsor a professional frisbee golfer.
Yes, we make a t-shirt that says bang chains. Yeah. That all actually right. would be a good
that'd
idea.
That'd be great.
We actually, Jake or... Not Billy. Jake, can you get someone on that? Bang chains.
Bang chains for Barstool Sports.
Do you bang chains, bro?
Do you even bang chains?
Yeah, do you even bang chains, bro? And it's just a fucking froth going into...
Let's hit up Triggs?
Yeah. Maybe it's a dude throwing a froth with that rat tail I just talked about. Khaki cargo shorts.
That like are wrinkled.
Baggy green shirt.
Yeah, baggy green shirt. Teva's a little overweight, but not too overweight.
Maybe a puka shell,
and he's throwing a fucking perfect 9-iron right at the chains, and it says, do you even bang chains, bro?
Who do you think's winning a chain bang between this group?
I could froth.
Probably not me.
I could froth. I've thought a lot about frothing, so I'd say just my mind is sharper than everyone's here when it comes to froth.
Yeah, the whole like practicing frisbee on the quad thing was never something I got into. So I feel like my discs are they're always flying at like a 45 degree angle.
Yeah, you're more.
You know what I do? I
throw things behind.
I throw like Barry Zito style.
You're more of a lateral guy.
Yeah. You got to get hozo. That's what they call it. Horizontal.
Hozo. Get hozo. Get level
made
with
that
it.
Up. I don't know if I say that, but it sounds cool.
All right, now the drunk idea.
Okay. Wait, hold on.
Wait. What about
flush that out of my brain.
Hanging. Brain and banging chains.
Yeah,
and
well,
his guy, his
we'll have
dick's,
a whole line.
His dick's out while he's throwing.
Yeah, we'll have a whole line of these.
All right,
I want that shirt, Jake.
It's chopped.
Do you have Triggs?
No, I do not.
Fuck, I gotta do everything around here. All right, fine. I'm gonna text him.
You might listen to the show too.
It's chopped.
Yeah, but I want it now.
Okay.
I texted him last night at 11:30 at night. Said, "Give me a Lou Dort dunking a skull."
It's chopped.
We got it.
But for building a bong.
But for booze.
Okay.
Wait, what?
You know the show Chopped?
Yeah.
It's like chefs. You get a basket.
Sometimes it's beer.
You get a basket of ingredients, so sometimes it could be food.
Uh-huh.
But that's Chopped.
But for booze. You're making drinks.
Okay.
So you're making one drink. Give me an example of what's in my box.
All right. You got fucking vanilla ice cream.
Okay.
All right. Grass.
Yep.
Like... something disgusting, like some like
cum.
Spice or like something that's like, you know, really flavorful. That's
Cincinnati
like,
chili.
Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, shaved ice.
Okay,
asparagus.
Okay,
and then you got
to
make a drink.
I have to make a liquor out of that.
You have to make a cocktail, something that you can serve.
But there's no
booze.
Would
you have the booze?
Oh yeah, yeah. And
how drunk were you, Hank?
You just forgot the booze.
Well,
want us to make a salad.
No. I did forget the booze.
No, I think what happened was Hank was out of booze, and he was like,
no, I was
just
out
looking
of chaser.
At ingredients
I was
in his
out
house.
Of
he's like, how can I get drunk out of these off these things?
I was like, you ferment the asparagus? Like, what is
no, no, no. You, that's my bad.
All right, all you do, you blend it all together, and then you toss some whiskey in it. You call it a milkshake. Boom.
But someone else can make a better one. It's you know, there's plenty of bartenders in the world.
All right, well, let's try it. Let's have, I mean, we've already had an episode of Top Chef, Billy versus PFT. Let's do it again. That'd actually be great. Let's do it on our Twitch stream. Let's do it on our YouTube.
I like the chili talk.
Yeah, let's do it on our YouTube. Let's do it, set it up for, let's do it Sunday night. When we come in to do the show, we'll do a 10-minute chopped for booze.
All right.
Okay, so you're going
to get the ingredients. I'll get the box. All right. Boxes.
Okay. And it should be, the main ingredient should be Coors Light or Coors Light
that's
seltzer.
That's, yes.
Okay, perfect. And then we'll taste test. Billy will let the meat talk. Steak should be part of this. just so we can watch Philly.
I'll take care.
All right, so maybe not Sunday. We'll do it soon. Soon. We'll do it on our YouTube channel. All right, good ideas, Hank.
Thank you.
Way to go.
Appreciate it.
I mean, what were you going to say, Billy?
I actually have a drunk idea, too.
All right, all right, here we go. Let's go. It is investment week.
So,
is Peloton's our sponsor?
Sure. Let's just pretend that they are. Billy's idea is that there's going to be a Peloton dating app.
How did you... Oh yeah,
I think you tweeted it out. Tweet.
Yeah, well, all these Peloton people are so obsessed with Peloton, like it's like and everyone's just simping for their instructors. So like, why don't you just make a dating app for all these dudes who get?
Yeah, I'll do one better, Billy. Yeah. I think we've actually passed the people obsessed with Pelotons. Now it's the people obsessed with people who are obsessed with their Pelotons. Mm-hmm. So now, let's get a dating app for them so they can stop complaining about people obsessed with Pelotons.
It's Billy being obsessed with everybody else that's got one. Yeah, because if you knew Olivia Motto, you would not be talking shit about
her,
okay?
Six months ago, people were talking too much about their Pelotons. Mm-hmm. Now we just have people talking too much about people who are talking too much about their Pelotons. So if we get them to date, then everyone will shut the fuck up.
Do you guys remember like a year and a half ago when that commercial came out and like a slightly arguably sexist commercial about Peloton was the biggest problem that we had in the entire world?
That was nice.
That was pretty sweet.
That was pretty nice.
Getting mad at like some husband buying his wife a $3,000 bike.
Damn.
That was a good time.
Yep. And now here we are.
I missed
that. And now, we're solving all the world. Do you see Mr. Potato Head is no longer?
It's just Potato Head.
Just Potato Head.
It's by Firefest.
Save it for all right. Forget you didn't hear that. Let's get to our interview with Donnie Brasco, Joe Pistone, the real Donnie Brasco. Fascinating interview. Was infiltrated the New York City Mafia for like 5 years. Crazy story. I'm sure a lot of people have seen the movie. But really, really fascinating interview, something a little different.
Listen up. We've got some tea, and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team, and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because, as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
Okay, here he is, Joe Pistone, a.k.a. the real Donnie Brasco. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is Joe Pistone. You know him as Donnie Brasco, former FBI agent. Or I guess you're an FBI agent for life. If you haven't seen Donnie Brasco, go watch it, first of all. Go read the book, Joe's book. He was undercover in the mob, in the New York City Mafia, for many years. And went, 200 indictments. One of the craziest stories out there, if you don't know it. I think everyone does know it, but thank you for joining us, Joe. We appreciate it. Got a million questions. I guess the first one is, where are you right now?
I'm on the East Coast of the U.S.
Oh, okay. I like this. All right. You can't really tell us. We also have a sunglass off.
What's the weather like where you're at?
Cold.
Cold.
Oh.
Well,
I'm wearing shorts right now.
There has been a cold snap throughout the U.S., so.
Yeah. It is winter.
Yeah, that's true. So you also have a podcast that is called Deep Cover. What do you guys talk about in the podcast? Is it basically stories from back in the day?
Yeah, it's Deep Cover, the real Donnie Brasco, and it's on Jam Street Media is our production company. It's basically, we've got 19 episodes in a can, and it's basically about organized crime, the mafia, my days undercover, stories that weren't told in the movie or in my books regarding my undercover endeavors. And we're hopefully going to start up second season pretty soon. But
nice.
I really appreciate you guys having me on. When I told my grandkids, they were like, no. Come on.
I love it.
You guys got to have you on. They were like, you guys, I tell you what, you guys are the I don't know. You're rock stars.
Well, you were made guys.
Yeah, we actually look at you the same way, because I don't know about Big Cat, but for me personally, Donnie Brasco was one of my favorite movies growing up. Loved
it. Thank you very much.
It's one that I watch every 5 years or so, and the story behind it is just endlessly fascinating to me. I guess my first question for you would be, like, when you were growing up, did you actually want to be in the mafia, or did you want to be on the justice side of the law?
Well, growing up, I always wanted to be a cop. I always wanted to get into law enforcement, and I grew up in Paterson, New Jersey. And I don't know if you guys are aware of any towns or in Jersey, but Paterson was a typical blue collar town. And I grew up in an Italian neighborhood. So there were wise guys in the neighborhood. I knew wise guys growing up. Went to school with, some of the kids of the wise guys. But their life never attracted me, And I think I take that back to my upbringing. My father worked in bars, had bars, was a hardworking guy. And, although we we knew all the, all the gangsters in the neighborhood, it was always, hey, that's not the way you want to go. Because you see the social clubs, you see the guys, nobody works, they're hanging out all day, they got the flash, the cash.
That sounds to me like that actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah,
like you see a bunch of wise guys
flash
hanging
and
out,
cash
at a social club.
Mm-hmm.
That's the triple crown, baby.
Yeah, it's cool if you lean that way, But like I say, I had a good upbringing and. Look, I'm not gonna lie to you. Growing up, I gambled, shot craps in the streets, went to the racetracks, but it just wasn't something that attracted me. I always wanted to be a cop, and that's the way I went.
So 1976, you go undercover, and it's supposed to be only a 6 month operation, but it takes 6 months, right, before you even get introduced to like guys in the mafia that you can start doing some undercover investigation for. What was that process like? What was that 6 months trying to get known and have people be like, oh, this guy's just a guy around the streets. We see him, we know him. He's not just a random guy who just showed up.
Yeah, well, I had just come off a year and a half undercover operation where I had infiltrated a gang of thieves that were stealing high-priced automobiles. In other words, you came to us and said, hey, I want a Mercedes Benz. Well, we take your order. And then at night we go out to the Mercedes dealership and hook the car. So I did that for a year and a half. I get back to New York and my supervisor was an old time New Yorker who had done undercover in his day, Guy Barata. And he had this idea of an undercover operation. And the initial all undercover operations are funded for 6 months, and then every 6 months you have to renew them. So that's why it was a six month deal, and the idea was to see if I can infiltrate fences. You guys know what fences are, right? Guys that broker stolen commodities, goods, swag. And the idea was to and you have to have a profession, because nobody's going to deal with you if you don't have a profession. And so my profession was I was a jewel thief.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is that you could do jobs without, you don't need a gang to go do jobs. I can bring diamonds, precious gems around. So I went to school, learned all about diamonds, precious gems, learned about locks, alarms, safes, whatever. And then the idea was we had certain restaurants and bars targeted that we knew that these guys hung out in. And the idea was to go in and hang out and hopefully get into conversation. Well, if you know anything about the mob, you don't just walk in and say, hey, I'm Donnie Brasco. I'm a jewel thief. I want to hook up with you guys. It doesn't work that way. So it took me about 6 months going into these different places, just hanging out, getting something to eat, having a Heineken, and then finally, I got into conversation with a bartender who was hooked into the mob. And That's how I my actual first initiation was with these guys was there was bartender that was but was a guy that was hooked up with the Lucchese mafia family out of New York.
So in the movie, you get introduced. I guess it's to Lefty. You help him out by spotting a Fugazi, a fake diamond. How do you tell if a diamond is Fugazi?
Well, back then in the day when I was pretty good at it, I had the glass, and you look, and you see, if you see scratches, you look at the color, and can you really, if it's really a bad fake, then you can tell. But this one, this one didn't look really great, and I just took a shot that, hey, it's a Fugazi, and it was.
So, not to glamorize guys in the mafia, because obviously they are criminals, but did you have fun? Was it fun when you were hanging out with the guys? I imagine it was fun at times where you're like, this is actually like we're hanging out, we're busting balls, we're having a good time, watching sports, playing pool, whatever it may be. Were there times when you almost had to remind yourself like, hey, you're a cop, like you're not supposed to be having fun?
Yeah, well, you have to remember you're dealing with human beings. So even though they're stone cold killers, somebody's got a good side to them. They got kids, they got wives, they got gumadas, they got kids that are okay. Some of them got kids that are a pain in the ass, like everybody else's kids. So some of them, some of them are jokesters. When I mean by jokesters, they're natural comedians. Some of them are just stone cold. So, yeah, during the day when you're not doing anything, you're hanging around the social club, playing gin, BSing. Guys are cracking jokes. Guys are talking politics. Guys are talking whatever. And not that they're experts in anything, but, they're new, normal people that way. So, yeah, you could bitch around with the guys. You have to because you have to fit in with them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you ever forget that your name wasn't Donnie? Like if somebody called out for someone else, like, hey, Joey, did you ever turn your head?
No, actually, I never did. I'll be honest with you. And that's my middle name. And that's why I took it, I was used to it. And the funny thing, the operation I had just come off, I used the same name. So I was, for a year and a half, I was used to being Donnie Brasco.
Yeah. What was the closest you ever got to getting caught, to having your cover blown? Obviously we see it in the movie, but was that true to form that, someone that you had worked with in the FBI had seen you and didn't know that you were undercover?
Well, there were a couple of ones. If you're talking about in the movie with the attorney, with the lawyer in the airport.
Yeah.
That happened. he kept calling, we were walking toward each other, and I was with Sonny Black, who was my capo in the Bonanno family. And when he got out close, I just clocked him because I didn't want him to keep, calling me and everything. And Sonny says, Donnie, what'd you do? I said, Sonny, did you see what the guy did? And can you say anything on here? Or
yeah, you say anything. Yeah.
I said, he grabbed my prick. I got to clock him. And we kept going. you saw the boat?
Young?
You saw the movie? Well, that was an FBI boat. And that boat was used in AppScam. I don't know if you guys ever heard of the big AppScam investigation, the undercover operation the FBI had against politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I was never to be surfaced. The news media found out about the operation, and they wouldn't squelch it from printing it. So when that came out in the paper, we were on that boat. I took the wise guys on that boat for a fishing trip, and I was with Lefty one time. We were on an airplane. And the picture of that boat was called the Left Hand. It was on the front cover, I think, of Newsweek or Time. And he looks at it, and he looks at me, and He said, Donnie, you know this boat? I said, no. I said, I don't know that boat. And it's, you know, big picture of it, big picture to the left hand. And he said, we were on that boat. I said, nah, we were never on that boat left. He said, yes, we were. I said, how do you know? He said, what's my name? I said, Lefty. He said, what's the name of this boat? The left hand. I said, he said, you think I can forget that? So a few months before, he and I had been out in California, and we were having dinner, and there were two ladies there, and he sent them over dinner. He said to the waiter, you know, send them over dinner and drinks, whatever they want. And then when they were leaving, we got into a conversation, and I told him, I said, Left, remember those two ladies? Yeah. I said, you know, one of them gave me a card, and she said, if you guys are ever in Miami and you want to go out on the boat, this is my brother's boat.
Huh.
I said, what the hell do I know? That's how I got in touch with him. So I skated on that one, but he always brought it up to me, but you know, I had been with him a few years now, so you know, he kind of bought the story. But that was probably the closest.
Yeah. So when you get revealed, or when the operation is over and they arrest everyone, did you? I would imagine deep down you were like, you kind of wanted to reach out to some of these guys and be like, because there's an emotional bond that you make over these years. How hard was that to deal with? Because they're criminals, but you also know them on a personal level, and you've been living, you know, with them, being friends with them for multiple years at this point.
I had no problem with these guys getting arrested and going to jail. I didn't want to reach out to any of them after. That's just the way I operated in all my undercover endeavors, is that, look, you chose to be a gangster. I chose to be in law enforcement. I'm coming after you. And once it's over, then I leave. The only way I would talk to anybody after, if they wanted to talk to me, I didn't want to put the cuffs on anybody. I had no problem you going to jail. Now, obviously, I didn't want to see guys get killed. You know, like I said, they killed Tony Mira. They killed Sonny Black Napolitano because he was my captain. And they killed another guy. Ruggiero was due to get killed, but the Bureau heard about it. They picked it up on a wire, and they grabbed him while he was on his way to get killed. But as far as feeling sorry for these guys, no. That's just the way I feel.
Yeah, that's also probably the Hollywood aspect. You know, in the actual movie, Donnie Brasco, they definitely make Al Pacino a sympathetic character and kind of a sad character that you feel bad for at the end.
And I was told the reason why is because they had to make me look like a good guy because I was a bad guy. Work, you know, during the undercover operation for being with these guys. So they had to make it like I had sympathy for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, that's the way Hollywood operates.
But, yeah.
Is there anything that you weren't allowed to do? Like if they had asked you to participate in like the most grisly crime that you can imagine, and you were in a car with these guys, like, is there something that you could not have gotten out of had you gone along for the ride?
Well, let me say this. The rule in undercover is you can't get involved in crimes of violence. Okay? That's the rule. However, there's an undercover rule. And that rule is you are your own security. Nobody's going to save your life in an undercover deal except you. All right. example, I was given a contract to kill somebody. All right. You saw the movie, the three guys that got whacked in the basement.
Yep.
Well, it was supposed to be four guys. One didn't show. I got the contract to kill him. So that means I'm responsible for killing him. Now, in reality, in the mafia, you're given a contract. You don't say, the guy's my brother, the guy's my cousin. I know the guy since we were kids. You get the contract, you accept it. Otherwise, you get killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I had to accept it. I had to go out looking for the guy. But the deal was, if I found them by myself, I'd call the bureau. They would grab them, and we'd stage a hit, and it would be the other way around too. I never found them. They never found them. We get a call one day. We're at the club, and we get a call. Sonny Black gets a call, and he says, "Donnie, Bruno's at such and such an address. What do I do?" So the guys, you know, we jump in the car, and we're going to go. Now, if I get there and we get there, what am I going to say? "Hey, guys, you know, I'm really an FBI agent."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, time out.
Yeah.
Game over. All right, jigs up.
Or maybe
ta-da, it's me.
Yeah, let's go get some meatballs instead of killing this guy today.
Yeah, right. But I don't, you know. So in any operation, if it's me or a gangster, it's going to be the gangster.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I'll take my shot with the government charging me.
That's crazy. So you had that mental thought, like, all right, I'm going to have to go kill this guy.
Well, yeah, if that's the way it came down.
Yeah, that's nuts.
We're going to get back to Joey Pistone in a second. Before we do, I want to talk to you about our great friends at Norton 360 for gamers. Real gamers know that if you want to get good, you need to shield up, and not just in the game, but with your devices and your connections. Hank, it's a new Warzone now, right?
New update.
So what does that mean? Is it no longer Verdansk?
No. Update really didn't change shit.
Zombies?
Not really.
So what does it mean?
There's like one new...
Means I have to play.
Yeah.
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one, with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. And now, back to Joey Pistone. In terms of like the actual undercover work and getting prepared for it, I know that, you know, there was that scene in the movie where you couldn't take your shoes off in the restaurant because you were going to get found out. What's the best place to wear a wire?
None at all. Be honest with you. None at all. What I did was I went to Radio Shack and bought a mini tape recorder. And I would keep it in my sport coat pocket.
And did you ever...
Or my cowboy boots. That time I had it in my cowboy boot.
From a logistical standpoint, I'm always curious about how the mafia operates, how the different families operate. Do you have like set times that most people are expected to be working during the day? Because there's no office, right? Is there like, do some people come in 9 to 5? When are people technically at work, or is it just 24/7?
Well, it's 24/7 actually. It's a 24/7 thing. You meet at your social club, basically, or where your crew hangs out. Everybody's in a crew, and a crew is headed by a capo or a captain, all right, who's appointed by the boss. And you have to maintain contact with your capo every day. You know, most guys don't work. If they do, if they work, they might own a bar or, you know, or a business, but they're not out there doing physical labor. You know, they might check in on their business, but your main goal is the mafia. That's who you worship.
Yeah. What's the vacation like in the mafia? Is there a policy that they have, or can they just, like, if they want to go away for a couple weeks?
Well, you got to tell your capo what you're doing. In other words, if I wanted to go to Disneyland, right?
Yeah.
I got to go. Hey, Sonny, I want to take my wife and kids away for, all right. Just check in every day. Mm-hmm. You got to check in. You got to check in every day.
I'm also curious about the tie-ins with Major League Baseball, the NBA, things like that, because I know that some crews were involved in point shaving issues back then. Was there any like athletic involvement, any sports that you saw like having contact with the crew you were running with?
The only contact that I know that my guys had was with horse racing.
Mm-hmm.
Horse racing.
Yeah. What's the state of the mafia today? Like, what is it? Does it still exist? Does it? I assume it still exists, but like, where? What is it like today? Do you have any understanding of it?
Yeah, the state of the mafia, because I keep up with it, you know, through law enforcement. Basically, they're down, reduced to just another organized crime entity. I mean, they're involved. They're still involved in drugs. They're involved in gambling. You know, everything that can make them money. What was taken away from them and what they don't control anymore is, you know, back in the day, what they don't control politicians anymore. They're out of the gambling business in Vegas and in Atlantic City. And what I mean by that is they're not taking the takes from the county rooms anymore. They're out of the big unions, running the big unions. They're out of controlling judges, law enforcement, you know, and the major unions. But they're still involved in everything, all the other crimes again. But when law enforcement took away their ability to control the big unions, control politicians and judges, and, you know, not that they may not be paying somebody here or there, but not on a major scale like they used to. I mean, back in the day when I was in it, there wasn't anything in the U.S. that they didn't have their hand in making money.
Mm-hmm. Did you what were the parts of Donnie Brasco that you think didn't get it right, where they kind of missed the mark a little bit in terms of what your experience was like?
You know, overall, I think it was a good movie, and not because it's Donnie Brasco, but, you know, it's still got legs. I mean, there isn't a night or day that goes by that movie's not playing somewhere. But I think what they really missed was the real danger. I don't know how you guys feel, but, you know, when I watch it, I kind of get the feeling, man, you know, it's a lot more danger than this movie showing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's me because I was there. I don't know.
This is a dumb question. I know it is, but whenever I watch a mafia movie or The Sopranos or whatever it may be, is there ever an element where a guy's like, hey, I've made enough money, I can walk away? I know that they can't, but where did you ever get that feeling from guys in the crew like, hey, I kind of want to just stop doing this, you know? I understand the risk.
No, I never did. I never heard anybody say that they had enough.
That's crazy to me. Just simply by the fact that, like, you know, if you make a big score, if you have a ton of money and a ton of cash, like, being like, hey, you know what? I've had a great run. I know how this is going to end if I stay here. Maybe I'm going to go live my life somewhere else.
No. And you know what's crazy is that, look, I was with these guys for 6 years. I lived with them. I stayed in the same apartment with them, slept with them. You wake up every morning thinking, is today the day I go to jail?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it today the day I get whacked?
Right. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's like nuts, you know? But that's their mentality. That's their mindset. And if they made a $5 million score today, then tomorrow, you know, they want it to be a $10 million score.
Yeah.
I never heard anybody never heard anybody say, man, I wish I never got into this life.
Yeah, I just can't imagine the anxiety of being like, today could be the day that a cop just shows up at the social club or at the bar and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's every day to them was, you know, was what are we going to score today? Mm-hmm. You know, what'll get me killed? All right. Number one, these are good things for an undercover agent to know, because you're never going to be in a deep cover situation where you're not going to get into a beef with somebody, either verbally or physically. If I get into a beef with you, I can't insult you in front of other people. You and I have a verbal argument. I can't insult you in front of other people. That could get me killed. Hmm. Take it a step further. We're in this beef. You give me a smack. If I lay my hands on you, I'm dead. You can't lay your hands on a made guy. You know what a made guy is, right?
Yeah.
Made guy,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has been officially, in case your listeners don't know, somebody has been officially indoctrinated into the mafia. Okay. Never steal money from the family. That, all these will get you killed. The other thing that'll get you killed, you don't fool around with a wise guy's wife, daughter, or girlfriend. That'll get you killed.
Mm-hmm.
So they have these rules and they live by them. They used to anyway, you know, the mob today, they got all, you know what the big downfall of the mafia is? And I saw it, young kids using drugs. Instead of dealing in it, making money of it, making money from it, them using it.
Like Christopher.
Yeah.
On Soprano, when he gets addicted to mm-hmm. heroin, then sits
and then
on Cosette, and then he has to kill him on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No spoilers.
No spoilers at all. Well, here's a dumb question. You mentioned like a wise guy's wife, daughter, girlfriend. What if you sleep with a wise guy's mom?
You're dead.
I don't know. I thought maybe that was a loophole. Maybe she's lonely. Who knows?
Yeah, well... Well, maybe if you're single, you're all right. But if you're married, then, you know,
they
don't look too kindly on that.
Yeah. So I had one last question, and you can go listen to Deep Cover, the podcast. So I was reading about it. Is there still actively a hit out on your life?
It's never been rescinded. But, I don't think anybody gets up every morning and say, hey, I'm going to look for Donnie Brasco today, you know?
Right.
What I do is where I live, the neighbors don't know who I am, as I'm not really that friendly a guy with neighbors anyway. But, it hasn't been rescinded, but, you know, nobody's out, you know, I don't think.
Well, you have a podcast, so yeah, I would assume that you're okay with talking, yeah.
That's kind of like the question, when is the podcast bubble getting its fullest? It's like when guys who are hiding in undercover mm-hmm. in fear for their lives have very successful podcasts. It's kind of saturated at that point.
Well, but I think it's more successful.
I'm excited to listen to it. I really am, because your life fascinates me.
Yeah, Jam Street. Hey, can I mention one other thing, too?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's okay. Yeah. I have another podcast. It's not mine. It's called The Undercovers. All right. There's one season out already, and I'm going to be the second season. And my good friend, Eddie Follis, who is a retired DEA agent undercover. And you guys may have heard of Billy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
The alone and undercover, the ATF agent that spent time with the Mongols undercover. We got a podcast. We just did, I think, 9 episodes, and it'll be out in a couple months. And the exciting thing is that Ed O'Neill, you know who Ed O'Neill is, right? The actor.
Yeah.
He's one of the narrators, the main narrator. And Ray Liotta is the other narrator of it.
Very cool.
That should be out in I don't know, maybe another month or so.
The Mongols one, that's the is that the motorcycle gang?
Yeah, the Mongols, yeah.
Yeah.
Billy Queen, yeah. But my main podcast, you know, is Deep Cover, Real Donnie Brasco. That's what I'm doing with Leo Rossi and Jam Street Media. Of course, it's on other, wherever you get your podcast. And Jam Street Media has got some wearing apparel that they're selling off of that. I'm not a good salesman.
No, this is a great plug. I'm going to listen to your podcast because this type of stuff is fascinating to me. I think I've read maybe 7 books in the last 20 years, and 5 of them are about the mafia.
Well, I'll tell you, if you read the books, read Donnie Brasco, My Undercover Life in the Mafia, number 1, and then read Unfinished Business. Make that the second one because that's a run-up. And then I got another one out. It's been out a while, called The Way of the Wise Guy. And that's kind of, you know, how wise guys act and what they do, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
All right. Well,
awesome. Hey, when does this air?
Probably in the next week or so.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got one last question for you. Did you watch The Departed?
Yeah.
What did you think of the ending where they zoom in on the rat? Did you get that? The zoom in, like the rat symbolized a rat at the end.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I'd like, yeah, yeah. Hey, again, it was crazy because I told my grandkids, you know, and they're like, wow, you know, those guys are they're the top. And my one granddaughter, who's she follows Dave Point,
which is Dave Point.
Yeah, it's her boss.
Yeah,
that's her capo.
He follows her on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Are we implicated now? Like, are we implicated as being associates of yours?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
You're under me now.
All right. Well, that could be a problem for us. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. Yeah.
Your producers have my contact. If you ever need anything, call me.
Great.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Sounds great.
Thank you so much, Joe. Yeah, we really appreciate it,
guys.
Steven.
Thank you very much.
That interview with Joey Pisone was brought to you by our great friends over at Upstart. We love Upstart. You know you've got one of those credit cards, the one that you're afraid to even look at to see what the balance is. If you've been avoiding your debt, it's time to confront it. Upstart can help you face it and finally pay it off. It's never as bad as you think it's going to be. So look at it, figure out what your debt is, and then figure out a plan with Upstart. Last year showed us that you never know what life is going to throw at you. If you use credit cards to pay for unexpected expenses, it can be overwhelming to manage that debt. But you can take control with Upstart so you know exactly what to expect. It's the fast and easy way to get a personal loan to pay off your debt all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple, fixed monthly payment. They find smarter rates with trusted partners because they assess more than just your credit score. With a 5-minute check, you can see your rate up front for loans online from $1,000 to $50,000. You can get approved the same day and receive funds as fast as one business day. So if debt is taking over your life, it's time to get a fresh start with Upstart. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/PMT. That's upstart.com/PMT. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. The loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/PMT.
All right. I've sent the beta version of our new T-shirt. So.
Let's see it.
Yeah. It's going to look sick.
Bang Chains, bro.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
And that's – we need to name that guy. Like, it doesn't have to be on the shirt, but just so that
– Trevor? Tyler?
Lance.
Come on, Billy. Get us something.
The big time frisbee guy that used to be a counselor at my camp. His name's Brody Smith.
Brody. There it is. Brody.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
That guy's big.
Is he?
Yeah.
For real? Like you know Brody Smith?
Trick shot. I mean, you've seen his videos.
I was in eighth grade. But
all right, so just one on the record. That is Brody, our frauffer, but it's not the Brody, so
no
can't
shot he
would
remember.
No. It's a Brody that used to bang chains with Jake.
Potentially. He would remember the camp, and then he'd be like,
of course.
Yeah, backtrack. Yeah, then I remember.
Oh, you were a camper there.
Do you think he saw any future frauffing in you?
He created not disc golf, but he created Ultimate Frisbee as an activity.
He invented Ultimate Frisbee?
No, at camp. He, like, started.
Well, I mean, that's he, what wait, he's saying. Like, yeah, I no, he, basketball
he invented
camp.
Ultimate no, Frisbee. No, he started the league. The no, Ultimate Frisbee but organization. That's not,
Ultimate Frisbee is
that'd be like saying Hank invented Jenga.
The Mohicans invented it. Well,
but the professional.
Oh, he did play Barstool.
He brought it to camp is all I'm saying.
Got it. Well, that's important. So it's like
he introduced brought, it to Jake.
Yeah. He.
It's like Europeans brought football to America.
He's Eli Whitney.
Yeah.
Sort of.
He discovered
he's
it.
He's more like.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like he discovered Ultimate Frisbee.
He's more like Paul
Rabel.
Paul Rabel? Rabel?
Yeah, Paul Rabel. Because he created invented, the professional league.
Right, but he didn't invent lacrosse.
Right. But
okay,
Brody,
got it. I see what you're
Brody
saying. Brody
invent
I love that name, Brody
okay,
Smith.
That's Brody banging chains dude. On his shirt.
He did Dude Perfect videos.
He did?
Yeah.
Cancel him.
Cancel
him. All right, Hank, Firefest of the Week.
My Firefest, we alluded to it earlier, but, you know, everyone's got their favorite, like, toy they have as a kid.
You stop.
Mine was
no.
was Mr. Potato
for
Head.
For real?
Yeah, of course. It was like, you know, I struggled with friends, and for a while it was like, he's
Are you?
He's
serious
my,
right now?
He's my guy friend. He's my boy.
Okay, no.
Mr. Potato Head.
Did you just like him because of Toy Story?
And then, of course. Well, it was like, I liked him. It was like, you know, you like someone and they go mainstream and you're like,
yeah.
oh, I like them even
you were,
more now.
You were a fan of his before he was cool.
I right. have a question. Yeah. Was it,
but they changed him today. They massacred my boy.
They neutered him.
Yeah, they're giving him a spud, a gender neutral new name. Just
what is
head.
It? Are they taking away his
head.
Dick?
Isn't there a Mrs. Potato Head?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what the hell's the problem?
Right, and I don't know if they're changing her. My sister liked the Mrs. Potato Head. I liked the Mister. And now it's like, would I ever even gotten into him in the first place?
So I would. So if hypothetically you had a stash of old Mr. Potato Head genitals, you stand to make a lot of money because they're about to get rare.
NFT them.
I'm going to NFT my Potato Head dicks.
I would love to talk to the founder of Mr. Potato Head. Like, what? How high were you, dude? That's the dumbest toy ever.
No, they were originally just...
No, they were literally like potatoes.
It was potatoes. Yeah. They sold the accessories.
Okay. Yeah, but he must have been high there. Then, when he just started sticking shit in a potato to keep his kids busy?
Yeah, well, I feel like in like the fucking 1900s, that's, you know...
Yeah, that's true. They did play with like a circular wooden, like, and a stick. And
yeah,
that was,
that's...
Like PS5.
Sticking shit in a potato yeah. is better than Game Boy.
Yeah.
It's like, holy, I can take this with me wherever I go.
Right.
I can take it in the horse.
Call of Duty used to be just throwing rocks at trains.
Yeah.
All right, good Firefest.
Sad no Firefest.
Right. Is that it, Hank?
PFT, what's your Firefest?
Yeah, it's
fest?
Been a tough week.
Tough
day,
my,
I guess.
Well, my Firefest is I'm passing a kidney stone. Or I did pass a kidney stone like a couple hours ago. I don't know if it's still going through right now. And I've got more.
You're
and
with stones.
I was stones. I went to the urologist today. They checked me out, which it's always weird because they, you know, they got to make you take your pants off.
Did they look at your dick?
Looked at my dick. Everything's normal. But they...
Did you laugh?
No, because I feel like urologists have to have a line for every person that they've got. Like, they think of what their joke line is going to be when they look at your chart so that it's not super uncomfortable when they're just like... moving your dick. And so mine was, are you related to that pilot that landed the plane on the river? And he's like, because your name is similar. And I was like, my instinct was, in my sick brain from 5 years of doing this podcast, the only thing I could say back to him was, you know, they named a drink after that guy.
That's perfect.
And he's like, oh, really? And then I just didn't say the punchline to the joke. So I just set up the joke, didn't add in the Grey Goose and a splash of water. But that's the only thing that my warped brain could think to say as another man with a glove is touching my penis roughly.
I think that's fair.
I think, yeah. Yeah. I'm lucky I got that out.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly felt like that was a great interaction after he left the room.
Yes.
But, I was currently passing one a little bit ago. I think, I don't know, I can't tell if it's still going through my kidney or not right now. But
sounds like you're milking it.
My inside is like the Infinity Stones, the Infinity Gauntlet. I've
When's the last stone?
Huh?
Like, is this going to be, you know?
He said I have at least six.
How much longer do we have to live with these stones?
A lot. I'm gonna be milking it hard. I'm gonna be talking
about
it a lot.
Stones.
So I've got an appointment.
Buckle up.
Yeah.
Buckle
so I got
up, folks.
I got to name more of them.
Yep. Yep.
Rock Cartwright. Pardon my Takeo spikes.
Okay.
I like that one. Spikel Jordan.
Okay.
Bottom line is no more salads. I fucked up by eating salads for a week, and now look at me.
Yeah, although they were PFT came back, I was like, hey, how are you doing? And he's like, yeah, they told me that sodium's really bad. And then as he was saying that, as the words were coming out of his mouth, he had an order come in, like Enrique, who works the front desk, walk
Frank,
over.
Frank the Tank
recipe. And it was just wings and French fries. And I'm like, well.
And I realized how ridiculous it was because I looked at the receipt of my order, and on Seamless, when I ordered the wings, it was lemon pepper wings. And my request for additional notes on there was, can you add in extra seasoning, please? So maybe it is some, you know, time to cut back occasionally on the sodium.
Does this have anything to do with the hat?
No, nothing to do with the hat.
Just trying to, you know.
Yeah.
If anything, the hat's been helping.
Yeah. All right, my Firefest is I have a zit on my nose. It's coming in, and it's fucking painful.
Doesn't look as bad in person.
Let me see.
It looked bad on that video. I look like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Really bad.
Yeah, it's also just really painful. Yeah, I look like one of those guys who's been drinking for 80 years, and his nose is going to fall.
Yeah,
if you squeeze like Tom
it. Yeah. If you squeeze it hard enough, you'll look like a clown face t-shirt.
It hasn't come out. It's like, maybe it's an ingrown hair. It just sucks. It's pretty much the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone.
I'm sorry that you're going through that right
Thank
now.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Credit you for coming in, though.
Yeah, I know. I came in.
You know what?
Yeah.
Billy said all these comments about us seeming old.
He did? When?
You're getting an acne outbreak. Look at you. You're basically a 13-year-old.
Are you doing a cycle over there?
Yeah.
A little TRT?
Yeah, trying to keep up with the young buck over here.
One thing that we should all acknowledge is when Billy was having that conversation with our boss, Erica, he was talking about how old me and Big Cat were. To somebody that's older, to a woman who's older than mm-hmm. Big Cat, I mean, how do you think that made our CEO
and
feel?
Also threw in 27-year-old Hank.
You basically called our CEO old to her face.
Also in a way that made it seem like we all have the same job.
Yeah. Billy, I have one more day of motivation, then I will stop.
I was just literally trying to show value.
I just want that video to get to 1 million views so everyone knows who stabbed me in the back. When I'm laying
sure
dead
it's already
in
past 1 million.
Oh, it is? All right, good. So I'm still going to tweet tomorrow. But when I'm laying dead in the gutter, and they're like, how did he die?
Well, old age.
Billy Football. Billy Football came and fucking gutted him.
Nope, right, it was father time.
What's your Fire Fest, Billy?
So last week there were
It's
reports.
Not your pants?
No, this is so much more. These pants, look, they're keeping me warm.
They're work pants.
Covering my
What are you, in the
legs.
Resident? You're like, yeah, I'm wearing this thing. It's just keeping me alive.
It's like, dude, they're work pants. I'm at work. It's like, no, they're work pants for if you're on a construction
yeah.
site.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, last week there was reports out of Tasmania that they spotted the Tasmanian
yes.
tiger, which went the last – so humans suck and tend to kill large predators when they go into a new area. So the Tasmanian tiger – the last one died in captivity in 1936. The Tasmanian tiger is a large marsupial, that carnivorous marsupial, that the only reason they say it's a tiger is because it has stripes on its back. Imagine it's more
like a nurse
like
shark. It's just a name. It's not
right.
actually a
Dude,
tiger.
Dude, you posted right. that picture, or I saw that picture. It looks like Stella. It looks
yeah.
like my dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe
yeah,
I have
exactly.
one.
It's
maybe.
Just a brindle marsupial.
Yeah.
Well, the stripes,
like,
yeah.
It's like half kangaroo, though.
Yeah, it's like imagine like a dingo with a pouch with stripes on its back and like a really big mouth.
God was drunk when he made Australia, the mm-hmm. entire continent. He was like, he was celebrating after making everything. He's like, I did a great job. Well, look at this. This is an elephant. Look at this. It's an orchid flower. It's so beautiful and intricate. And then look, here's a fucked up duckbill platypus that looks like it's a beaver that I stapled like a bill to its nose.
Yeah, giant sharks and fucking
yeah.
little like enlarged squirrels that crawl really slow up the trees
yeah.
and have syphilis.
Now I'm going to make an island where everything that you touch will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there was a trail cam footage of what looks like a family.
Wait, hold on, one more. What else we got?
There's a giant rock that I'm going to put out here that just looks like a chick's mound.
Yeah, the biggest spiders you've ever fucking seen that you have to kill with a shovel, otherwise they'll eat your babies.
And you're only allowed to live within 2 miles of the coast on the entire fucking island so that you're mm-hmm. closer to the sharks.
Yeah.
Wombats, poop cubes. So
really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
They're cubes.
I'm fact checking.
I wish
that.
I'd
like Wally.
Cubes if I have too many of the painkillers. I'll tell you that.
So there was a trail cam of what they thought was a family of this, and everyone was freaking out because they're like, nature is healing. Like, this extinct animal is actually not extinct. And turns out it was just a bunch of wild dogs.
Yeah. So I saw the biologist that was taking credit for it.
Yeah.
And I guess he's a pretty respected, like, he's a big name in the field of animal, like, zoology. and he was walking down the street. It looked like he was probably like halfway to being Johnny Damon levels of drunk, and he just had like an open beer can in his hands. He was like, "Great news, we discovered the tiger. The tiger's not dead." And he's like this, he's like a famous doctor in Australia.
Oh yeah.
And he's just fucking hammered walking down the street. It's like, that is the most perfect Australian doctor that I've ever seen in my life. Like, he's probably like the 40th drunkest person in his town.
It was probably his life's work.
So he just found a couple dogs?
Well, they look like Tasmanian tigers.
Can I see a picture of them? By the way, I'm looking at the cubes, the wombats poop. It's pretty crazy.
Anyway, turns out it wasn't, and it was really disappointing because I got really excited.
Just a fucking dog.
I almost started drinking. No, I'm joking.
Jake,
we're trying to take all our tigers away.
I present to you one of the biggest scams in America.
Top shot?
Chapstick. I keep losing mine. Yep. It is impossible to finish a stick.
I've been on this for a while.
Oh, really?
But in a different way. Go ahead.
No, like, I have to buy a new one every week.
You know what you gotta do? You gotta fucking wear it as a necklace.
They've also addicted it. You've gotten addicted to it.
Yes.
When you don't even need it at all.
Jake is addicted to chapstick and to nose spray.
I'm over that now, knock on wood.
Yeah.
But it's ridiculous.
How many days sober are you? Jake?
Your lips get chapped.
My lips don't ever get chapped.
Neither
bitch.
Do mine. Do you mine use get chapstick?
Chapped. Mine get chapped, but you know what?
I give him a kiss.
It's because I use chapstick.
Right.
But to my point,
you got the spike in me.
You're
sheep. Just buy one. It's cheap. It's $2-3, but then you have to buy one next week and the week after. Do you know anyone who's ever finished a chapstick?
Nope.
Yeah, Chaps' wife.
Oh, get it? Damn. That's good. That is good. Yeah. All right. That's the show. Everyone, numbers 99,
20,
18,
8.
32.
17, I'm fucking...
Shout out Mike Greenberg. Mike Greenberg, they just announced he's going to be doing the NFL draft.
Oh, great, another show.
More greeny. All greeny all the time.
He seriously has had a power play for every job at ESPN.
Yes, he wanted it just to be ESPN greeny.
73.
They should do... He should also do, like, a premium.
First-timer.
Yeah.
Like, OnlyFans style.
That was a first-timer? Holy shit. Hank... Still nothing.
Liam said 17. So.
It's crazy that we have only had Billy, Liam, and Jake.
Yeah.
All right.
Billy, do you have an animal fact for us?
Yes.
Wombat's puke.
I didn't blow my load too early on that one. Off the coast of Ireland, there is an island of feral wallabies that just live there.
That sounds pretty cool.
Nice.
Wallabies are like smaller kangaroos.
Love you guys. Love you guys.
See you guys Monday.
Love you guys.
Shine away. I'll be coming for you.